Man, we're nerds.
That's confirmed.
Lots of good episodes.
Got a whole page of good stuff.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Cinematography.
Got half a page of nitpicks.
I feel like we've grown as a podcast.
Like a fungus.
This is good because it makes me think.
Just the creativity of putting this together.
It's a science experiment.
And it's going to be funny.
Fun for the whole family.
The most professional podcast on the internet.
Keep doing whatever makes you a discerning geek.
The Discerning Geeks Portal.
Greetings, discerning listeners, and welcome back to a totally improvised, off-the-cuff, on-the-fly episode of the Discerning Geeks Portal, the podcast that just, well, isn't prepared for anything else. I'm one of your hosts, Todd. I worry that I sound hyper when I moderate an episode because I'm not good at being in charge of things. And joining me are two guys that are much cooler under pressure. One is probably wondering, wait, how did I get roped in this crap again? And the other's probably wondering, wait, why did I return to this crap again? It's Preston and Andrew. Guys, how's it going?
Good.
I'm doing great.
I got my protein shake. I got my podcast.
Yeah.
Happy man.
I'm here to have some fun with some friends.
Yeah, this is making for a good Friday night.
I'm
glad that we were able to fit in some podcasting. Obviously, we do have one person missing. Dave had a scheduling conflict, so that's another reason that we're kind of saving one or two topics for later. So we thought, yeah, we'll just do a What You Doing episode. But before, when we were planning on this, Preston, you had a different name for it. What did you say, Candy Bowl?
Yeah, the Candy Bowl. I stole that from a horror YouTuber that I watch called Nightmine. Every October he runs a series he calls the Candy Bowl. Candy Bowl is just a random horror series that he finds on YouTube that he wants to spotlight and hopefully give the creator some attention so that they'll pick it back up or, you know, be encouraged to finish it. And that's just really nice. And to listen, if you're a fan of horror and you're not watching horror stuff on YouTube, I don't know what you're doing. You're missing out on a lot of great stuff. I know. We're all kind of burnt out on the Five Nights at Freddy's clones. We're all a little bit, you know, burn out on the analog horror, but there's still some really good stuff out there.
So you say it's on YouTube? So are these horror movies, horror short films, horror TV shows, horror web series?
It's a little bit of everything, right? Like, okay, one of the biggest things in horror on YouTube last year was this thing called the Backrooms. Now, the Backrooms was basically, what if you no-clipped out of reality and into just asset storage? Again, this is a lot of video game terminology, I know. But what if you fell out of our reality and into a reality that was just a bunch of random storage? And it looked like a long, dense corridor. It was like old 80s walls and stuff, and then you just randomly find, like, I don't know, giant chairs or, you know, a car that crashed in the wall because they no clipped out of our reality and into the back rooms, and as they were going 45 miles an hour directly into a wall, what would that look like? And then, of course, as it is with all things American, you have to think about, well, how would we eventually exploit this? And that's what leads to the majority of the series there. But it's a really fun time if you dig it. And the Back Rooms is fun. There's also Gemini Home Entertainment. That's a little bit darker. I don't know really if you... Give me just a second, boys.
Okay.
This episode is sponsored by the letter A.
Oh, no.
A for Andrew, because he's awesome, and he's back on the podcast.
Serenity.
And he loves messing with Todd, because he knows how much he hates editing. Even though that's his primary role.
I quit!
I knew you were going to do that. I knew it.
Oh, as soon as there was a pause, you already knew what was going to happen.
Hours of work ahead of me for what's going to amount to about 30 to 60 seconds.
Did you just force Todd into spending hours making a commercial for a letter of the alphabet?
That's cold. Even I don't have the stones to do that.
If you want the best things named by the letter A, we have Andrew, also Andrew, because I'm the best. Not stone.
Sponsor the letter
A.
A is the first letter in the English alphabet. What sound does A make? Astounding. Can you sing the letter A? Astonishing. Can you use the letter A in a sentence?
I am an android.
You're amazing.
That's America's ass.
You are amazing.
That is America's ass.
Awesome. What other words begin with A?
Apple.
Airplane.
Alligator.
Athlete.
Alarm.
April.
August.
Autumn.
Astronaut.
Alliance.
Andorians.
Asgard.
Ancients.
Atlantis.
Autobots. Roll out.
Many locations start with A.
Africa.
America.
Antarctica.
Asia.
Australia.
Afghanistan.
Albania.
Algeria.
Andorra.
Angola.
Antigua and Barbuda.
Argentina.
Armenia.
Austria.
Azerbaijan.
Alberta.
Alabama.
Alaska.
Arizona.
Arkansas.
Alderaan. I'm not going to Alderaan.
How about Greek myth names that start with A?
Achilles.
Adonis.
Agamemnon.
Ajax.
Andromeda.
Aphrodite.
Apollo.
Ares.
Argo.
Artemis.
Athena.
Atlas.
Finally, check out Discerning Geek Portal episodes that start with A. A Knight's Tale.
Episode 2.
Adjustment Bureau.
23.
Alien.
48.
Alpha Movie Beta to D.
64.
Alpha Movie Betty to H.
73 and Bonus Re-Edit.
About Time.
92.
And Ant-Man.
118.
Avengers, assemble!
And I'm back. How are you guys? What'd I miss? Oh, no.
Andrew just cursed me to a huge amount of work.
I'm tormenting Todd.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Todd.
This episode is now brought to you by the letter A.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Just wait till halfway through. I'll do it to the letter H as well.
No.
H, as in hell no.
One letter per episode.
And not in back-to-back episodes.
I can't handle much more.
Well, listen. But, horror on YouTube, you definitely need to check it out. There's a lot of really fun stuff. A lot of really great stuff. And everything is kind of cool on that end. You guys don't really do much of that, I take it?
No, I do watch a lot of stuff on YouTube, but I'm not a horror person at all.
No, okay.
I'm a horror person, but it mostly comes down to either movies or maybe a short film here or there. And most of the stuff I watch on YouTube are actually wrestling videos.
Nice.
Which is
I need to send you some All Japan.
A great segue into what I've been doing for the past, 4 months instead of being on the podcast, which is wrestling. There isn't too much to talk about it. It's just a lot of running and then a lot of picking up people. It does get more complicated, but it would take way too long to go deeper into it. But I had fun with it, and I should be done with it for the year for the most part, other than some workouts here or there. So, but I'm glad I got to do it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. And it sounded like you really enjoyed it when you and I talked around Christmas, or technically I guess it was a week after Christmas. But, yeah, you and I talked about it, and it sounded like it was a really good experience for you. And it kind of went beyond just the competition itself. It kind of taught you some good lessons and you know, it helped you meet people and stuff like that. So do you want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff you did get out of it? Or if not, you don't have to. Also, I'm kind of curious just how you did competitively. Did your team win anything or how far did you get?
Well, my first half of the season wasn't that great individually. I won my first match and then only ended up winning about two more matches before the end of the first half of the season. But the second half of the season really picked up for me, and I started to get some momentum. And I went to a JV showcase, and actually I placed pretty well. I won my first two matches, and then I ended up going into consolation, and then consolation matches got canceled and such. But I actually did pretty good, and that was my last competition I did. But I believe my career record right now is 9-18 or 10-20, okay. Something like that. But that's not too bad for a first year.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then we had two girls that went to regionals and then ended up actually going to states. And then we had three guys that are going to regionals at some point during this next week. They want to go to regionals.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, so you actually have men and women competing together. It's not separate, right?
No, it is separate now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, North Carolina changed the rules, and now women's wrestling is its own individual sport, which is really cool.
Okay, good. And so there, I guess there has to be enough involved to compete. So there are women interested in doing that then, right?
Yeah. And okay. Some of them are actually pretty good.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I haven't wrestled any of them, and I don't plan on wrestling any of them because that would be a really awkward.
Yeah, and I apologize. I think it's awesome that you found some that you really enjoy, but I'm not a sports person, especially when it comes to wrestling. So I really don't know what to ask. So I'm interested and thrilled for you that you found something, but I'm like struggling to be like, so was it fun? I don't know what to ask. I'm sorry.
I mean,
it was great. I had an amazing time. I can't wait to pick it up again, hopefully next year, and do even better. Then do it again my senior year and hopefully do really well. But other than that, should be about it.
How many Hindus are you up to a day?
What?
Is there some missing context in that question?
How many Hindu squats are you doing a day?
Oh, it's a type of exercise. Thank goodness. At first I wondered, what are you thinking he is doing to Hindu people? I don't even care about this podcast, and I still got a little nervous just now.
Not enough, probably.
Never forget the standard workout for the average pro wrestler in Japan starts with 10,000 Hindu squats.
Oh my god.
That's pro wrestling. You're doing shoot wrestling. You should at least be up to 20.
We do a lot of neck bridges, which is something where you, for those who don't know, it's when you get on your, when you get kind of on your back and then you lift yourself up by your head, your feet, and kind of like roll around on your head, trying to work out your neck, and it's very, very uncomfortable, but it does get your neck nice and juicy and strong.
Now, do you do the full roll, or do you just do the bridge against the wall?
I do the full roll.
Okay, that's good. Another fun way to do it is have your buddy stand on your head and try to flex your neck up.
Ow.
That's what they do.
I suppose that would help, though.
Yeah.
See, me and Preston, we can talk about anything forever and ever. We can go into any topic and talk about it for an endless amount of time. Like, before we started the podcast, we were talking about food for at least a half an hour.
Which brings me to a topic I wanted to throw at you boys.
Okay.
What is a dish that you've seen in a show or a movie or whatever, and you're just like, yes, I want to eat that?
Ooh, that would probably take some thought. You said a movie or TV show?
Movie or TV show.
Ooh, the ants from Ant-Man.
What?
What?
You would eat your buddies?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
All right.
A little barbecue sauce. They probably taste like chicken.
As someone who has eaten chocolate covered ants, they're really more crunchy than you would think.
Oh no,
worms too.
Want them.
Okay, this is a little bit of a tangent, but sometimes I kind of go on a spiral of scrolling through TikTok, and one day I found a video from what is it? The Raymond Show. Is it Everybody Loves Raymond or something like that? And I never watched that sitcom, but for some reason I stopped on it. It was a video from one of the episodes, and it was where Raymond was, his brother had a woman over for dinner, and everybody was like, oh wow, she's perfect for him, she's great. And everybody else was in another room. It was just her and Raymond, and there's a fly in the room, and she swats a fly. And he's like, oh, that's pretty impressive that she was able to smack the fly and kill it. And then he gets up and she thinks that she's alone in the room, but he's watching. And he realizes that she just picked up the fly and put it in her mouth. and she actually eats flies. And so then there's this semi-funny sequence where he's trying to tell his brother, she's not the one, brother. she eats bugs. And of course, he and his mother don't believe him and everything. But yeah, so that just
kind of course.
Yeah, we're
standard sitcom shenanigans.
So about the food, I can't think of any dish that is like, oh yeah, I gotta have that. But just two things that came up randomly off the top of my head. I used to be a fan of the show Chuck, and Chuck, I can't remember if they were actually sponsored by Subway or if they wanted to be sponsored by Subway and weren't. But either way, they somehow worked Subway sandwiches into the show all the time. And there might have been a time or two where maybe it might have actually put me a little bit in the mood for a Subway sandwich.
Oh man.
Also, my favorite TV show of all time is Babylon 5. And there is one sequence in, I think, a season 3 or season 4 episode where Garibaldi is trying to sneak certain foods onto the station because the mail service has kind of gone through a change in authority and there's only certain things that can get delivered to Babylon 5. And he's trying to get the ingredients for bagna cauda, which is an Italian dish. It sounds totally unhealthy because I think it's almost nothing but oil and butter and maybe some seasoning. And it's the type of thing where it's not even a meal on its own. It's basically a dip that you dip vegetables or bread in. It kind of sounds interesting and intriguing. And in fact, there is a member of a Babylon 5 podcast that recently did a video on YouTube on how to make bagna cauda. And like I said, it doesn't look that appetizing to me, but when you mention foods that have been on movies and TV shows, it comes to mind, not necessarily one that I want, but just one that maybe I'm mildly curious about. So sorry, I don't have a great answer, but there's two food related things anyway.
There's always Ray's like ration bread from The Force Awakens that springs to mind, or she just like sprinkles some water or something on the bread and it puffs up like it just came fresh out of the oven. That was always pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot in movies that's just Jell-O and they like put a lot of really fancy coloring in it, but it's just Jell-O. And one of those is the imagination meal from Robin Hood, or not Robin Hood, excuse me, Peter Pan. No, Hook. Why am I blanking on that? In Hook, there's like the imagination meal. You know, the first time they do it, it's not there. And then as Robin Williams becomes Peter Pan again, then he can see the imagination meal and he eats it. And it's all these bright colors and whipped cream and like great looking roasts and stuff. It's pretty cool. Andrew, what about you?
The first thing that comes to mind is the ratatouille from Ratatouille. But I don't think I would want a ratatouille cooked by a rat.
No.
Either. Because there's no way that's sanitary.
That's actually my least favorite Pixar movie. And it's mostly because of that. I know it's kind of creative and there wasn't really anything wrong with the characters. I couldn't get past the fact that it was rats. And yeah, I know they're kind of... you know, kind of made I always have trouble pronouncing this word, but anthropomorphized. Yeah. Kind of made it a little bit human-like and gave it intelligence and made it capable. It's still a rat. I'm sorry. And it's one thing like a pet rat. I kind of consider pet rats. I still wouldn't want a pet rat, but I know some people have pet rats. And I assume because they take care of them, they're a little bit cleaner and hopefully they take them to the vet and maybe they have shots and stuff. But this was still a street rat, which means it probably had diseases and stuff. I'm sorry. I don't want rats cooking my food, even in a cartoon.
I mean, they go through the dishwasher.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been forever since I've seen it.
I don't know. Something about the rat thing kind of throws me off. But the way that the guy reacts to the ratatouille is kind of like a hallucination. So maybe he did get a disease from the ratatouille.
He might have gotten a disease, but come on.
I mean, he did get some brain damage because before he was all depressed and now he's all happy.
I mean...
Maybe everybody just gets like super sick from the rat being in the food and then they all hallucinate. And the rat at the beginning of the movie is hallucinating and he's hallucinating. So maybe everybody's just sick and hallucinating and that's the plot of the whole movie.
Yeah, but you don't understand. The rat has superpowers. Remy has superpowers. Remy has the ability to smell and taste. And that's not a thing rats can do. So he's like a superpowered rat.
He can also see ghosts, though, which... I don't know.
I mean, that's fairly explained in the movie that it's more his internal...
Yeah, it's like his own dialogue.
Well, we should probably talk about something a little bit more in the geeky realm. Yeah. And, including movies and TV. Preston, I know you were listing some TV shows before we got on air, and it's ones that I haven't seen. I don't know if Andrew has. I know Andrew's been kind of busy, so I don't know. You might have to talk about them on your own. And I've seen some TV shows. The only ones I could really think of were Quantum Leap, Willow, National Treasure, and Kaleidoscope. So I can maybe talk about those, and I don't know if you guys have seen those. But this is maybe a slightly smoother transition. We have already mentioned YouTube a few times. And one YouTube channel that I know that at least Preston and I watch, I don't know whether Andrew does, is Red Letter Media. And so, Preston, I'm wondering, did you see what Red Letter Media did approximately a month ago with the Nuki video?
The Nuki video? That is genius. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the weirdest thing about the current state of affairs in the world is all of the speculation, right? Like, speculation around toys and now it's going to physical media, and beyond even that, there's speculation on, comic books and everything. Red Letter Media took the chance to make this video about Nuki. If you don't know what Nuki is one of the worst, E.T. clones ever made. Like, I'm sure there's some kind of weird, international... funding story behind it, because there's no way that was made by a real, Hollywood studio or anything. There was somebody with money that wanted to make an E.T. movie to try and cash in, because you just crank these videos out, ship them to these mom and pop video stores and get people to buy them and rent them.
Well, now, are you making assumptions, or are you going off?
I'm making assumptions.
Or have you actually seen it?
I'm making assumptions based around some things, but I have seen part of it and it was just awful. It was so bad. In my rating scale is a 5-star to -5-star. Nuki might be a -5-star.
Oh, wow.
But the genius thing that they did was they had one of their copies of Nuki graded because it was in cellophane. It was in the best condition they could do. So they had it graded and they ship it out. So they have all these other copies of Nuki that people send them. And I think they said they cleared out a couple of eBay auctions for Nuki as well. Mm-hmm. And they take all of these Nuki tapes and they just destroy them in this wood chipper, right? They just feed them constantly into this wood chipper. So they've destroyed somewhere in the neighborhood of 150 to 250 different copies of Nuki. So now their graded copy of Nuki has less competition. And they auction it off for charity. And that's just, that's genius. Literally genius.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, boys.
Yeah. And to add to your explanation a little bit, part of the video where they do this whole idea, they're really explaining in detail what makes something valuable. In fact, they're really, even though these guys are kind of sarcastic, they're actually approaching this from an almost scientific standpoint. I mean, they're going into, it's almost like they're using the scientific method to say, okay, we sent these videos off to have them graded and Nuki off to be graded. And we tried to figure out, why certain ones were more valuable than others. And I think they might've even interviewed some people. I can't remember if that's true, but I think they try to get outside information to try to tell them, what makes something valuable. It's like, wow, this is kind of different from some of their videos and where's this going? So yeah, you're right. Near the end, they figure out that one of the things that makes something valuable is scarcity of there not being many of something. And so in order to increase the value of the one Nuki tape they have, they destroy a whole bunch of others. So all these ones that people send them, they, like you said, they run it through a wood chipper, and of course they make a comedy thing out of that, and they show the whole process for that. And yeah, it's crazy. It's like, it, in a way, it feels weird because I usually don't like that type of thing. It's like, okay, you're literally destroying something. I mean, yes, you're saying it's a terrible movie, but what if somebody out there actually wants a copy of Nuki? But the weird thing is they actually turn it into a good thing because, yes, they did increase the value of it. Then they put it on eBay, and you mentioned that they did it for charity. I think they did it for two. They were going to split up, and one was, I think, a local humane society, either a state level or local where they live in Wisconsin. And the other, yeah, I think, was either heart-related or cancer-related. I can't remember which. But two,
I think it was St. Jude's or something.
Oh, maybe it was. Okay.
Yeah.
So two pretty major things. And so I got online to see, and this was a few days after it had gotten going, and it was already in the 5-digit range. And in fact, wow, I think by the time I saw it, it didn't go up much past that. And the final price, I think, was somewhere around $80,600.
Wow,
and sure, okay, and sure, it was for charity, and somebody out there who must have had $80,600, I guess, had enough that they could just give to charity for any reason. But I can't help but wonder, do they really want a Nuki tape that bad, or are they only doing it for the fact that it's for charity? But either way, it was a pretty interesting experiment that they did. And the weird thing is they haven't done a follow-up video for that yet. And I would kind of like them to do that, to say, okay, we did this, and this is how much we got for charity. And plus, if they did that once, I wonder if those guys would be willing to do it again, because that's a pretty interesting and obviously effective way of earning money for charity. So
I think knowing them, if they did it again, it would have to be for something like, you know, a Neil Breen movie or something. It couldn't just be like Plan 9. Maybe if they got like a copy of Plan 9, like a old film reel of Plan 9, and they just auction that off, that might fit.
Yeah. So, Andrew, are you into Red Letter Media any?
No, I never even heard about them until right now.
Okay.
My friend, if the Star Wars reviews go the way I think they're going to, you will have to answer to Mr. Plinkett. You may be asking yourself, who is Mr. Plinkett?
Yeah.
Mr. Plinkett is the reason Red Letter Media is famous. He wrote the original critique of the original Star Wars trilogy that the internet fell in love with and gave birth to the myriad of movie review channels on YouTube.
Yeah, and but there again, Andrew might not like what they're most famous for, because they did a 9-part series tearing apart the prequels. And Andrew, yeah, I know you love Star Wars Episode 3.
Yeah, that is my favorite.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Well, there's a discussion we need to have.
Well, and we will, because one of the topics that we have coming up is best Star Wars movie. And it is one of Andrew's topics, so we technically could have done it tonight since Andrew is back. But I have a feeling that Dave might want to be a part of that one. So it would probably be best to wait till we have all four of us. So any movies or TV shows that we want to talk about? Like I said, I listed 4 TV shows, and for the sake of time, I could probably be pretty quick on all of them. But any movies or TV shows that you guys want to talk about?
So I have 3 to discuss. Okay. One is just getting started. It is The Last of Us. It is a TV show based around a video game. Historically speaking, those have all been failures. This one is not. This one is actually very good. If you're tired of zombies and you just don't care, maybe this isn't for you. But, man, they're doing a really great job on this one. It's got Pedro Pascal. It's a dystopian disaster zombie story all about family. Yeah, so take that for what you will. Another thing that I was prepared to discuss is TV show I just started called Lockwood and Company. And Lockwood and Company is about, okay, what if ghosts were real and how would the British government handle this? Did you say regulations and shady, you know, contracts and underage labor exploitation? Yes. And yeah, so it's a teen show. So eventually the main cast is all very beautiful 20-year-olds that are playing, you know, 17-year-olds. And their trials and tribulations trying to navigate being a small business in a world of corruption and ghosts and what this all means. It's very fun. I would recommend checking it out. It's on Netflix. It's a pretty good show. I haven't seen the whole season. That's why I'm not really trying to deep dive or anything, but it's fun. It's a fun time.
And did you say it was a British show?
Well, it's made in Britain, and all of the actors and actresses are British.
Okay.
So I call it a British show.
Okay.
I don't know if that's 100% correct.
Okay.
One of the other ones that I mentioned before is Wednesday. And Wednesday is also on Netflix. But it is basically a noir murder mystery featuring Wednesday Adams. And she also has the ability to talk to ghosts. And she goes to a school for monsters and misfits and has to solve a bunch of murder mysteries that feature a gigantic Tim Burton monster. This is also brought to you by Tim Burton. And so if you're aware of his work, you will be aware of the beats that we're going to go on here. But it's very fun. It's very kooky. And it's quite spooky. You should check it out.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it, and it's getting a lot of buzz, but I'm not really much of a Munsters. Is it Munsters or Adams Family?
Adams Family. Right? This is the Adams Family.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter much either way. I think I did watch one or both of those as a kid, but they're not quite my thing. I mean, I've already mentioned I'm not into horror, and I know it's more like horror comedy, but I don't know if I'm just not sure it's my style. And then I'm also not a huge Tim Burton fan. So I don't know. I just don't know if I can get into it.
Then Todd, there's a movie that I feel like you should see called One Cut of the Dead. I can't really spoil it for you because it is so dependent on you not knowing the twist.
Okay.
As you watch. But there's never been a better, for people that hate zombie movies, there's never been a better zombie movie. I mean, other than Shaun of the Dead, but I imagine we'll get there someday. Maybe.
Yeah, so speaking of zombie movies, yeah, I'm not much of a zombie person. I mean, I've already mentioned I don't like horror. Zombies is like one of my least favorite horror subgenres. So I've only watched one episode of The Walking Dead and I didn't like it. So I never watched again. And then I've heard good things about The Last of Us too, but it sounds like it's a zombie TV show and I'm sure that there's a lot of good character stuff in it but I just don't think I can deal with the zombie aspect of it.
You're very much a Star Trek guy.
Yeah.
You know, you're one that really hopes for the future of humanity and wants us to succeed as a species. And, you know, the things like Walking Dead and The Last of Us are very much like dystopian. And while there is hope, it's very sparse and very much this is the peak of civilization and it's only downhill from here. Where Star Trek was just like, no, this is just the jumping off point. We're going to get better. We're going to be better. And I think that's admirable.
Yeah, that is kind of my thing. And especially now, there's so much crap going on in the world. And it just, I don't know. I'm not in the mood for dark stuff. I'm more in the mood for light stuff right now.
Of course.
Yeah. Greetings, discerning listeners. This is Todd, the editor, cutting in, hopefully briefly. It was at this point in the podcast that Preston and I were talking about TV show topics, and I thought we would kind of take turns, but Preston was able to knock out his three topics somewhat quickly in about 2-4 minutes. I knew I was rambling on for a while, but I went on for about 10 to 11 minutes, just all on my own, about four TV shows. I don't want to subject you to that, so I am trying to do this short version. The first few takes did not go well, so I am imposing on myself a little miniature lightning round per TV show, and I'm going to try to summarize each one in 45 seconds. Okay, the first show up is the Quantum Leap revival on NBC, which is somewhat a continuation of the first series instead of a total remake of it, and I'm going to try to talk about it in 45 seconds. And go. They continue to do a good job ending either every episode or almost every episode on a cliffhanger that really makes you want to tune in to the next episode. Everything is improving about the shows. The plot lines, the characters, the dialogue, the overall balance of the show between the stuff that Ben is doing on the actual leaps and the stuff that his team is doing behind the scenes. They're doing a really good job building a mystery as to why Ben is leaping, why it is he has somebody helping him, what her motivation is, why it is he's leaping instead of somebody else. It's just doing an overall good job. They have great guest stars for the episodes. One thing, it is on network TV, so they do these weird breaks where it's like two episodes and then a week off, two episodes and a week off. But you'll just have to get used to it and time. Okay, the next show up is Willow. I think the last time we talked about this, Dave and I were about maybe three episodes in, and at this point, all eight episodes of season one have aired, so I'll try to talk about it in 45 seconds, and go. This show did not work for me overall. I think it has potential. It had a somewhat interesting beginning. It has decent characters. It is kind of sort of charming and quirky at times in positive ways, but then it's kind of quirky and annoying and just plain weird at other times. It's like every time they do something good, like there's an episode where it feels like, oh, this is kind of interesting. This is going to be better. Well, then they'll do something to shoot themselves in the foot, and it's like, wait, now it's weird, or they didn't complete this character development, or this didn't go anywhere, and it's just I don't know. I think it's a show that just doesn't strike the right balance. The last little bit of the last episode does imply there's a season two and season three. Some people are excited. Some people aren't, and I think I'm one of them. Okay, the other TV show is National Treasure: Edge of History, which is also on Disney Plus, which Willow was too. I forgot to mention that. So I'm going to try talking about it in 45 seconds and go. This TV show does not have quite the same feel as the first two movies, which we reviewed on this podcast. Look for those episodes. But it does eventually get into the kind of mystery thing that the two movies did. This one has a bit of a Latin American flair because it concentrates on artifacts from Incan, Mayan, and Aztec cultures. The main character is kind of into puzzles and mysteries, so that's kind of cool. There is a main villain in this, and she's kind of intense. It also has a younger cast, and they're pretty good. They're kind of funny, quirky. I think the best thing about the show is that it doesn't have anything that's a dud in it. Nothing is terrible. I think the worst thing about it is it's not excellent. It's kind of right in the middle. It's kind of good and great. But I would say that this is a decent show, and I would recommend it. And the fourth show I want to talk about is Kaleidoscope, a limited series on Netflix. I don't know if we'll ever see a second season of it, but this particular season is a heist TV show, kind of in the vein of Ocean's 11 or the Leverage TV show. And as a heist, it works pretty well. It's got kind of a complicated plot and some characters that are really good at their various jobs within the heist. And so I think in a lot of ways, that's how it works. Now, the reason it's called Kaleidoscope is each episode is named after a color. Each episode takes place in a different time period, and supposedly you're supposed to be able to watch the episodes in any order. If you do, then certain episodes will just kind of be like flashbacks or backstory for other episodes. So let me try to rattle this off as quickly as possible. This is about my third or fourth take. I'm still not describing the show fast enough. Yellow takes place 6 weeks before the heist. Green, 7 years before the heist. Blue, 5 days before the heist. Orange, 3 weeks before the heist. Violet, 24 years before the heist. Red, the morning after the heist. Pink, 6 months after the heist. And white is the heist itself. And again, you can watch in any order. I recommend watching Yellow first. That kind of sets up the concept of the show. And then the two episodes that takes place before that can kind of be just like backstory. Netflix and some of the reviewers online suggest leaving White for last, actually watching the heist last, even though there are two episodes that take place after the heist. I can kind of see why they recommend that, because the Red episode, when you see that things don't totally go according to plan, it builds your anticipation for the White episode and actually watching the heist last. Unfortunately for me anyway, the Pink episode is not that great. It's the least good episode. It's where things kind of fall apart and it has some closure, but I'm not sure I like the closure. Other things are left hanging. And so while Red built my anticipation for one to watch the heist, then Pink kind of detracted my interest from watching the heist. So I would say, as an experiment in watching things out of order, I could possibly recommend the show for that reason. But as an overall story, I don't like the way it chronologically ends in the Pink episode. And so in some ways, I can't totally recommend the show. You might just have to watch it for yourself and maybe watch it in a more experimental order. And maybe you'll like it for that reason. Okay, so there's the four TV shows I want to talk about. And Kaleidoscope I couldn't do in lightning round form because it was just complicated enough that it takes too long. In fact, I did about three or four takes, and somewhere around 3 to 3.5 minutes is the quickest I could explain that one. So that's it for me. Back to the recording.
That's really interesting, though, to be able to get like an entire show out of one heist. I feel like that should have been... like some of the Ocean's movies could have been TV shows.
I would like to see a TV show that is similar to Ocean's 11, or maybe they could just do an Ocean's 11 TV show.
Yeah, that would be a really good idea, especially to expand on some of the characters, because I know one of the problems you have with a movie like that is that you have all these unique characters, but you don't have enough time to expand on each one individually as much as they deserve.
Yeah, yeah.
You just so get maybe kind of that cool montage scene.
No more montages.
Well, and I'm afraid that because I tend to ramble and because Kaleidoscope was complicated to explain, I might have rambled on way longer than I meant to. So so do you guys want to take a turn with anything you have left?
The only thing I have is that Office Superfan uploaded another season on Peacock like 2 days ago. So that's what I've been watching in my free time.
All right, now explain a little bit what that is then.
There's the sitcom The Office, and then there's Superfan episodes on Peacock, and they're basically, they put in all the deleted clips and stuff they saved for time.
Okay.
And they make the episodes like longer, like 20 minutes onto each episode, just about. And so it's like a ton more scenes and footage than we never saw. And it's just a sitcom, so it's just more funnies.
Okay.
I mean, right. The Office is kind of Gen Z Simpsons, so I understand. I watch The Simpsons constantly.
But The Simpsons got a lot more seasons than The Office did.
Well, I mean, The Simpsons are easier to produce.
Yeah, that's true. The Office kind of had to stop at 9, and if you ask me, only about seasons 2 through seasons like 7 were any good.
I mean, you'll get the same kind of discourse from Simpsons fans where episodes or seasons 3 through 12 are considered the prime golden era of The Simpsons. And it just keeps going. But they've gotten better over the years. They've stopped making Homer evil and started making him care again. So that's good. We're going back to that, but yeah, the cast is getting a little older. So it used to be Mr. Burns was a man in his 30s impersonating a man in his 70s. Now it's a man in his 70s impersonating a man in his 80s or 90s.
Yeah, I know that show has gone on forever. Has it been 30 seasons or even more than that?
34.
Good grief.
Yeah, that's a little while. It is
2 years older than me, or younger than me.
That's twice as old as me with 6 years of change.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not good at math.
Preston, do you have anything?
If you just want to have some fun, if you just want to enjoy a little bit of horror with some... Really, the backstories to a lot of these horror movies are more interesting than the movies themselves. But I totally recommend The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. Now, for those of you that don't know who Joe Bob Briggs is, there used to be a show on a cable channel called TNT called Monster Vision.
Yeah.
On Fridays at like 10 o'clock to midnight. And Joe Bob would sit in between the movies as we're going to commercial break and tell you about them and like explain to you why they're important or what was going on with production and everything. And man, let me tell you, the most interesting 45 minutes of The Last Drive-In is him telling you how the Texas Chainsaw Massacre came to be made. Because that is a story that were I to sit here and tell you this, you'd be like, no, there's no way. I refuse to believe that that movie comes from all of this. But yeah, man, it's amazing.
And so where can you find that?
It's on Shudder. Or okay. If you just want to subscribe to AMC Plus for, I don't know, a couple of good movies and The Walking Dead, it's also there too.
Okay.
But Shudder is a streaming service devoted entirely to horror movies. They usually have one pretty big name horror movie in a season. And then like they just fund like a bunch of these mid-budget horror movies and get them to air. Like one of the more interesting ones that they just had was a vampire movie about a Jewish vampire that escaped the Holocaust and was just a drifter in the southern Midwest, basically the Southwest. He was just drifting through, and then all of a sudden, oh hey, wait a minute. Your daughter finds you. Yes, the vampire has a daughter. We do get a little explanation on that, but it's not that satisfying. But it's really interesting to see like a long lost child story told with vampire leanings.
Well, we are reaching an hour, just a few minutes away from the hour mark. So, looking ahead, is there anything coming in the near future that you guys are looking forward to?
Quantum Mania.
Yeah.
I'm excited for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really interested to see if DC can pick itself up off the floor. I don't know that it can, but also, you know, the Quantum Mania looks fun.
So, yeah, I'm also looking forward to Quantum Mania. I mean, I don't know if I'm super jazzed about it like I usually am for Marvel movies, because they've been a little bit on the mediocre and sometimes even disappointing side lately.
Right.
But I am ready for a new one and something that looks pretty good. And that one looks at least intriguing. The one thing I'm worried about is all the previews seem to be very CGI heavy, and maybe it needs to be if they're going to spend most, if not all the time in the quantum verse or whatever. But I just hope that it's still, even if it's weird and wacky and in a strange place, I just hope that it's still character centric and has a good story. And I'm a little bit worried that it might not, if it's going to be spectacle heavy, but maybe they'll surprise me and have a good balance.
Not to be too much of a spoiler, but eventually we are going to have to bring people back from the dead.
Oh, so you think that's going to happen in this movie?
So in the comics, there's a very important character that balances Krang out, and she's dead. So we're going to have to bring her back. That goes places. That really does. In very horrifying places. And I think that's what they're going to do with the Doctor Strange stories.
Okay. And then when it comes to DC, it was just this week that they announced what the new DCU slate is going to be for movies and TV shows. I don't know if we have screw it. If we go over an hour, we go over an hour. We don't necessarily need to go on a deep dive, but just what is your impression? Do they have a good plan or not? Or is it too soon to tell? Or is it a mixed bag? How do you feel about what they've got planned ahead?
If they can get that, here's the Universal Monsters, but they're a superhero team idea off the ground, then maybe we got something here. The slate, I'm just hoping, you know, we can go somewhere with that, because it looks like they're going to do the what if Superman gets skin cancer story arc.
What?
There's a Superman comic where he has to go save a group of very important scientists as they are exploring Mercury, and their ship goes off course and veers into the sun, and Superman has to go save them. And because he gets so close to the sun and he has to push the ship off collision course with the sun itself, and I believe his back even touches the sun, he gets skin cancer. And the comic, the whole run is literally what Superman would do with the last 2 or 3 years of his life.
Wow. Okay.
Every piece of art that I see associated with the new Superman movie is from that comic run. So I'm like, oh, they're going to do this. They're really going to do this. Okay. And it's a tearjerker, man, but I don't know if you can pull that off. I just don't know if people want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds a little bit weird. I'm trying to Google for a really nicely laid out list, and I'm not finding one so far. But yeah, I think they've got 5 movies and 5 TV shows. And okay, so it's Superman Legacy, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. That's a movie. And the page still isn't loading. Well, anyway, here we go. All right. Paradise Lost, that's a Wonder Woman prequel HBO Max series. Booster Gold, an HBO Max series. Creature Commandos, an animated series. Booster Gold, I think some people have really been wanting that. Waller, an Amanda Waller series. Lanterns, which is a Green Lantern show, and I think they're going to have 2 Green Lanterns. Swamp Thing, that's a movie. The Authority, that's a movie. And the picture here looks like from the comics. I don't know if that's implying it's an animated or if it's live action. And then they're still doing Elseworlds, where they have the Batman Part 2. I don't think it's listed here, but I thought the Joker 2 is part of that too.
I've heard of the Joker 2, but like, I think that's going to be more about Harley. Like Lady Gaga is supposed to be playing Harley in that.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. But to me, that slate is just really weird. And what I miss is The Brave and the Bold. That's Batman and Damian Wayne. I don't know if that's a movie or TV show.
Damian Wayne is a good character, but it's hard to do.
I don't know. I don't know how you do him without the very violent Joker scenes. Throughout Damian Wayne's run, Joker just becomes increasingly more violent to the point where he gets his own face cut off.
Yeah.
And
because the Lazarus Pit and nonsense. Yeah.
He has Toymaker cut his face off. And because the whole goal of this is, of course, he's going to torture Batman by cutting off the most important person in the Bat family's face and put it on, and then, you know, make Batman watch. That's like the whole point. And I don't know how you're going to do the Damian Wayne arc without these really violent Joker scenes that won't fit a Brave and the Bold kind of mentality. And then how are you going to explain Talia? Like, that's a whole movie in and of itself. You can't just be like, here's Damian Wayne. Where'd he come from?
See, I wouldn't mind a series of Batman movies where, like, each movie we go through, like, almost a different Robin. Because we've got, like, 4 to go through, but I really think you only need 3. You have Dick, and then Jason, and then Damian. Dick is an important one just because he's Nightwing. Jason is a great story, probably one of the best Batman stories of all time. Damian is important because he's the current Robin.
Damien, he got better, but they really wanted to be like, okay, we're going to take this Robin and we're going to beat him until you like him. Like, they torture him in a lot of those comics, and I just don't see how you can do it in a movie. Like you really have to explain, okay, what's the history with Talia? And here's all of this. Here's the filled doomsday plot of Ra's al Ghul that leads to Talia and Bruce reconnecting. And then how Damian and Huntress get along, because that's a whole other thing in and of itself. And yeah, I don't know. That's a pretty steep one. I feel like the Elseworld Batmans will be more well received if they can't. Like, you're really gonna have to nail that script. But Booster Gold is a movie I'm interested in, because Booster Gold is probably one of DC's biggest losers. One of my favorite pieces of DC media is the Justice League Unlimited episode with Booster Gold. Whatever Happened to Booster Gold, I believe is the title, where he is stuck on crowd control during a giant monster attack. And it's basically a story of him trying to get everyone to safety and all of the hijinks that he comes up with. It's important to note, Booster Gold isn't exactly a superpowered individual. He's just a guy from the future with a robot.
Okay.
Like that, he's a guy with the future, from the future with future tech. And so that's kind of his powers. And otherwise he was a janitor in the future, and not really what one would call the smartest, but when he's removed back into the past of our time, he's one of the smartest men alive. Yeah. So it's a fun time. And I hope that's where the movie goes with it. Because I feel like DC has been taking itself way too seriously for too long.
Yeah, to me, I'm just a little bit worried about the lineup, because to me, it sounds like it's a lot of niche stuff. Like, you know, I know that you and some other comic book enthusiasts might know who Booster Gold is, but he's not one of the main characters. I just kind of feel like they're going off in really weird directions. Like The Authority, I've never heard of those before. Creature Commandos, never heard of those before. The Waller, this is another confusing thing. They're kind of wanting to do a reboot and start over in some ways. But Amanda Waller is going to be played by the same actress she has been played by, I think, Viola Davis. Well, so she's a carryover. And I don't know how true it is, but I've heard, you know, rumors and other YouTubers discuss that they might bring over other people from the current universe. And it's like, make up your mind. Are you doing a reboot or not? I mean, you're already doing the main universe plus Elseworlds. So is the main universe going to be a mix of new actors for new characters and old actors for the same? It's like, make up your mind. It seems like they're doing the same confusing stuff, but just with different people in charge. I'm not seeing that there's a whole lot of clarity in their plan. Even though they have a plan, it still seems convoluted.
It's definitely a situation of Warner Brothers just opened the vault for James Gunn. And like Creature Commandos is what I was talking about, where it's the Universal Monsters, but they're like a superhero team.
Yeah.
Bride of Frankenstein, the Invisible Man, who kind of looks like Ghost Rider, the creature from Black Lagoon, Dracula, and the Mummy. And they're all fighting crime. So, but I mean, hopefully they can make that work.
Yeah, and like they're doing the Themyscira TV show, and I just read that it's actually going to take place before Diana is born. So it's going to be like a Wonder Woman TV show in a way, except it's not going to have Wonder Woman in it. So that's going to be weird. Swamp Thing, I know that Swamp Thing is kind of famous to some people. To me, he's not. I'm not super familiar with him. It just seems like instead of going back to basics and going with your main type of characters, it seemed like they're doing these weird offshoots to oddball characters a little too much. And if they do kind of like Marvel does, where even when they do that, they still have ways of connecting their main characters to their oddball characters, or having like little mini team ups like they did in Thor Ragnarok, where it's like a 4-person team. And they kind of introduce new characters along the way, kind of the way Black Widow was actually introduced in an Iron Man sequel. You know, if they can drop in things like that, I guess I'm okay with it. But if like the Swamp Thing movie has nothing but Swamp Thing in it, then I don't know if I care. And same thing with Booster Gold. If like Booster Gold has either a sidekick, or he is a sidekick to somebody, or he's a rival of somebody or something like that, and it's a way of introducing another character that might go on other things, it might be okay. But it's like, I don't know. It just seems chaotic to me.
you want to focus on the seven Justice League superheroes, basically.
Maybe to a certain extent, and at least they are finally doing something with the Green Lanterns. But yeah, and not necessarily the same seven, but I would actually be okay if they wanted to start off with a Justice League movie or even a TV show. And it's like your three core trinity, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. But the other four characters are your oddballs, like maybe put in Zatanna and Swamp Thing and maybe Constantine or one or two other side characters, but and let that be your way of like mixing your core characters and your new guys. And then maybe like do the opposite of what Marvel did. Marvel did one movie per individual character and then did the Avengers. Maybe they would do the opposite and start off with Justice League and then split them off and do the individual movies afterwards. I don't know, but it's just what they're doing now just seems to be all over the place. I just don't totally get it.
Well, I mean, they're throwing the plate at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
Basically. But there are some titles in there that I'm excited for, but again, I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, because like I'm into like the weirdo oddball DC guys and Batman.
Yeah.
And that seems like, yeah, I'm also into the weirdo oddball DC guys and Batman.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I just feel like if you're doing a reboot, then you kind of need to get back to basics and bring back your core and then maybe branch out from there. And it just seems like, no, let's do all the weird stuff from the very beginning. And even when we do Batman, let's throw in his fourth Robin instead of doing the first three Robins first. And when we do Superman, like you said, give him the skin cancer storyline instead of doing some kind of new origin story. And let's also throw in Supergirl, even though we should really solidify Superman before we do a Supergirl. And let's do a Wonder Woman prequel where Wonder Woman isn't even there. I don't know. It just seems weird. But at this point, we're about an hour and 12 minutes in. So we probably need to start wrapping up. I've got one more thing I want to talk about super quick, but I thought I'd give you guys a chance to do any last minute topics, especially Andrew, since we've been rambling on for a while. So do you guys have anything?
I'm square. I give the floor to Andrew.
No, sir.
Okay. So the last thing that I have is that I have not totally been happy with some of the Star Trek stuff that's come out lately.
Todd got wordy again, talking for 3 minutes about Star Trek.
Nerd alert!
Here's the short version. He hasn't been happy with Modern Trek and decided not to watch Discovery Seasons 3 and 4 nor Picard Season 2, mostly because he likes having healthy blood pressure. But, Robert Meyer Burnett, a YouTuber and huge Star Trek fanatic, was given screeners of the complete Picard Season 3 by its showrunner, Terry Metalis. And, Burnett has had glowing things to say about it, claiming it's a love letter to the fans. Todd said he'd cave in and watch it, though he's still skeptical. At the time this is being edited, the first episode has now come out. Todd said it was mostly good and has potential, that he had only little quibbles with it, and that he's going to stick with it.
So, Preston, Andrew, do you guys have any opinion on Star Trek in general, or what's coming up here soon with Star Trek Picard?
I have always been of the opinion that Star Trek is the future you want to live in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the ideal reality for us as a species. I haven't been following it as much because I've run out of the streaming services. I'd have to get rid of one and pick up the Paramount or the Peacock or whatever.
Yeah, it's Paramount Plus.
Yeah, the Paramount. I'd have to pick up the Paramount. I don't want to at this point, but if this is good, then I might give it a shot.
I definitely share that sentiment because I really didn't want to get Paramount Plus. In fact, I put it off for a while, but I got it for the last season of The Good Wife. No, excuse me, not The Good Wife, The Good Fight. And in fact, I skipped season 5 of The Good Fight. I actually put off getting Paramount Plus. And so by the time I did cave in and get it, I actually did a binge of season 5 and then watched the final season 6 as it was coming out. And while I had it, that's when I checked out Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And in that time, I think Paramount Plus has become the only place online that you can get Star Trek. So I think I'm going to continue my cave-in. I'm going to continue to keep Paramount Plus. But I've just recently canceled Hulu, HBO Max, and Netflix.
Those are the ones I have.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. And I've had them for a while, and I've enjoyed having them. In fact, I think I've had Netflix since 2012. So it was weird to cancel all three of those around that time, but they just don't have anything else. They have a few things like Hulu, I think, has Firefly, but Firefly is a short enough season. If I have to just purchase it, I can. Hulu also had Picket Fences, but I did a full rewatch of that recently. HBO Max had a... used to have Babylon 5, but it recently dumped Babylon 5, so I don't really need HBO Max as much. And I think it had something else recently that I did a binge of. And so now that I did that binge, again, I don't need HBO Max as much. Netflix doesn't have as much. Oh, actually, Netflix was the home of Travelers, which is a good show that I talk about occasionally. But I did a rewatch of it recently. So I'm kind of okay giving these three a rest. Might go back and get them again. But yeah, I need to get rid of them now, especially since I've got Peacock for the sake of the Quantum Leap and the upcoming 10th and final season of The Blacklist. And then, like I said, I think I'm going to keep Paramount Plus because it's the only place to get any of the Star Treks now.
That's fun. I mean, you know what you like, and you go and get it. That's part of the reason why I bought my NAS, so I can start like getting some of these shows that I just keep, like Disney Plus, when they don't have like a new season of The Mandalorian or whatever. I'm just watching The Simpsons and using that for The Simpsons. So I'm trying to migrate all of the Simpsons episodes that I care about to a network attached store so I can watch it there and save myself $10.
Yeah. Well, we're at an hour 20. I don't think we intended to go that long, but we did. So we probably need to wrap it up. Any last minute topics before we do sign off?
I think Andrew fell asleep.
No, I'm here. I'm just listening because none of this really. I know. I'm indifferent on most of these topics.
Yeah, I apologize. No. I think we're probably ready to wrap up. So thank you again, Andrew. It's great to have you back. So tonight we're able to record this and a review of, I've already forgotten, Ant-Man. I'm not sure which order we want to release these in, but
I think you just kind of doomed yourself.
How so?
You said we just recorded this and Ant-Man, so.
Yeah, I don't mind saying that these are the two that are going to come out. I'm just not sure which order they should come out in. But Preston, in terms of the order in which we've recorded things, it's also your fourth episode. So thank you for coming on board and becoming at least recurring. I don't know if this is something you want to keep continuing, but you definitely have an open invitation.
I'm happy being the Rich Evans to your Red Letter Media. Inside joke. Yes.
But I guess we do need to wrap things up. So I'll just say, be well, be safe. Try to be more prepared when your podcast does an improvised episode. There again, how can you be an improvised episode if you prepare and continue to enjoy whatever makes you a discerning geek? Thank you for joining us.
Salutations.
May the force be with you.
Always.
This episode is sponsored by the letter A. A for Andrew, because he's awesome, and he's back on the podcast. And he loves messing with Todd.